Welcome to On and Off the Pitch. We're back one more time to talk about the champions of the Barclays Women's Championship. Crystal Palace women are—they're there, they're there, they're champions, promoted to the WSL. I had made quite a few notes on the game that I attended this weekend at Selhurst Park, which was kind of a celebration really before kickoff. Crowd, great numbers. Fantastic. Always good to see the buzz going around the ground. And this game in itself was almost like the icing on the cake after a very, very long campaign. I could go by the minute by minute and talk about what didn't happen, what did happen, but let's face it, it's all about the winners. And the winners are Crystal Palace and Crystal Palace women. Have played some fantastic football. They've been very professional throughout. And I think, considering some of the changes in terms of personnel that they lost last season, bringing in a new management team, head coach, all of the changes behind the back room, and how the players have taken on board the direction and the message that the head coach has provided them throughout the season is credit to them. They deserve their moment in the sun, and they're going to have quite a few of those moments, I'm sure, for the next 3 to 4 weeks. And they're probably off somewhere sunning themselves ahead of what will be a very challenging and entertaining and interesting season in the WSL. Now, there could be many conversations around the sentimental part of what could happen next season, but I really want to talk about the players in essence, really, as how they've taken on board. And I think when I think about Crystal Palace, there are certain players that stand out for me, and I have favourites. So I say favourites could be, plural. Blanchard is a really good player, in my opinion. I think she's a very, very good player. And there's some great players in Crystal Palace. I'm not saying there aren't. I think in terms of acquisition, players that they brought in the summer, I think Hayley Nolan and Hopcroft as well, former LCL players, really good additions to the squad. They fitted in. They've played. Nolan and Everett have been a formidable block to all threats across the championship. Hopcroft's energy, drive, Potter in front of the back four, been great. Blanchard's knack of popping up in unfamiliar areas, causing defence and midfield all kinds of nightmares, been great. Hughes, who was not on the pitch due to injury, has been fantastic. I think Molly Sharp, it is Molly Sharp. Such a versatile player, such a versatile. I think on recollection played bo the bulk of the season on the left. Atkinson arrived, switched over to the right. Really good. Not so. It's not even so much a squad player. A valuable individual in that team. So much so that she's not going to be on the bench. So there's that player. Who else is there? Dennis, who came in on loan. It would be something if well, Palace won't be able to keep her for sure. Riley as well. Annabelle Johnson, who's a long time player of Crystal Palace, not had many minutes this season. I think they've, who else is there? Chloe Arthur, Philby, etc. Yeah, I mean, some really good, and not to forget Lambourne in goal. Across the whole squad, they have really been a solid unit, and not flash, not necessarily look at us, we're Billy Big Boots, but they have put in a good performance. And probably the standout result was the Durham one, where, in terms of goal difference, how that helped their momentum going forward in the season is probably one of the big talking points to cross the line. And when there are certain players, say players, when you're certain teams, I have to say, a big thanks to Charlton, obviously Sunderland, who were there and thereabouts from the day dot. They were there, making this league, the Barclays Women's Championship, a really interesting and well talked about league for those that follow it, definitely. And it was really quite close for the last up until the last few weeks, and certain results didn't go Sunderland's way. Charlton, who finished second, will probably think that they, certain games, they'll look back at that London City Lion. This is re result. Likewise with Sunderland when they visited the down south, didn't get a rubber to green in terms of the calls from the officials. Definitely there. So those two teams will definitely feel a little bit hard done by, but also they can kind of say we have been part of a very, very interesting competition this season. And Crystal Palace, who will no doubt do really well. We already know who's joining, or shall I say returning, to the championship, because relegation has been confirmed for one team from the WSL. So Bristol City will be coming back. Don't be long gone or gone long. Get my words out. It's just a phrase that I use. It's from a line in a movie, and it's not meant to upset anyone, but it's just I like the phrase. But when if I say that to Crystal Palace, I don't mean it. I mean, be gone a long time. Don't come back too soon, because I want to see them be successful. And I think for Crystal Palace, when I think about them as a club, how they've been, I'm hoping they've been supported well. The players may feel they've been supported well. They've got great training facilities. The ability to train during the day has definitely helped. They have a good ground. I'm not sure if that'll be the ground that they use next season, because I'm sure there will be certain teams in the WSL who may not want to play there or travel there, etc. So that might be of interest, and crowds, etc., and all that stuff, and fan base and parking. That's one thing. But needless to say, that's that. So it'd be interesting to see how that kind of pans out. Crystal Palace will have a very interesting season next season. Will sentiment be in their mind? Will they keep the bulk of that squad? It's a question to have. I know it's too soon, but some fans are probably already going to have that conversation, and probably will have it consistently throughout the summer until a ball is kicked again in frustration. Or do they go Billy Big Boots and bring in WSL experience and pay a bit of money to ensure that they stay in the WSL longer than a season? Time will only tell, but when you think about the players, especially the ones that I've mentioned, like Blanchard, who I think is a fantastic player, I wonder whether or not, two things for me, the questions is, will Blanchard find the time and space in a game which played at a much faster rate in WSL teams, between WSL teams, or will she adapt? Will it just be, this is what happens, this is how I am, and I will find a way? It'll be interesting to see. Pace will be something that most teams in the WSL will have in abundance going forward next season. How will Crystal Palace cope with that? There are a different category of strikers up there, different category. You've got your Bunny Shaws, depending on what's happening with Chelsea and their striker, to come back from their ACL injury. Russo, we know about, obviously. Man City have got their little wingers that are dashing around. Liverpool have got theirs, and Liverpool have played, and some of the Championship teams have already played WSL teams, so they know what it's like. Some haven't fared well when they've done so. So it will be interesting to see how they go and tackle that. Not to say tackle, but shore up against it in terms of seeing where they can make sure that they don't concede goals. That's going to be interesting, but also where they can score goals. If they keep Dennis, I don't know if they will be able to keep Dennis online, but Dennis will be pivotal, because a real threat going forward. But and Gibbons as well, left back, I think seasoned. Percival, good experience there. It'll be interesting to see if there's going to be sentiment, what happens, or will the club be, like, oh, thank you very much for your time. We really appreciated you being part of this journey, but goodbye. That's a possibility. Not to say it will happen, but football cutthroat. As much as we say, you know, we love the badge, we love the club, and we touch the crest, et cetera, the realities of it are that Crystal Palace women, being attached to a Premier League club in terms of the men's, will want to ensure that they are part of the WSL, not just for 1 year, but going forward consistently. Consistently. And that could only be a good thing for, I'd say, this part of South London. When I say this is where I'm situated, so forgive me. And it will also say something about the teams and clubs that were in the championship as to what they need to do. And for those clubs that aren't attached to Premier League clubs or a footballing club that has been already established and a long-term history, what are they going to do? Who are they going to recruit? Are they going to go and cherry-pick certain players from teams that have been relegated? You know, Watford have got a whole host of talented players there. Lyon's one of them. Haynes is another. Baptiste. I mean, still players that can do some damage in the championship. Are they going to get those players? Where will they be? What's going to happen for players at Lewis? Lewis have moved on. Cleverley, long-time servant of the club. Will they stay? You know, what's going to happen there? So, for teams that have just escaped relegation, and I say just escaped, I do mean the likes of Reading, I do mean the likes of Durham, and I do mean the likes of London City Lionesses. They may not want me to say it, but in terms of goals conceded, the deficit number is close. And if any of the two teams that come up are better than the two teams that have left, then there's going to be a problem for those clubs going forward. So recruitment is key. Recruitment is key. Now, there's no real structure to this conversation tonight. I'm not talking about anything in too much detail because it's the end. Crystal Palace are there. They're on top of the pile. Everyone needs to pay homage to them in some way, shape, or form to say congrats, well done. We wish you all the best. And it's to not so much lick the wounds, but clubs that were not far behind, like I say, Charlton, 45.1 point, and they lost one game less, but it was the draws that did it. Sunderland again, fantastic for their players. I think Fenton has been a great acquisition for that team. They've been really, really good. I think Fenton has been brilliant for Sunderland. Such a good player, underrated, does all of the horrible things that you need in the midfield, but not to say horrible, but the nitty-gritty stuff, and is able to link up play. Goddard's story for Sunderland as well has been great. Who else was on there? Kitchen, who's also a former London City Lionesses, Adjupi was there as well. We said goodbye to Grace McCatty. I think she's no longer going to be at the club, so there's going to be changes there for Sunderland. But in terms of players possibly moving around, not just from Sunderland but other clubs as well, it will be really, really interesting. Who comes up? No one knows yet. Well, I definitely don't because I haven't been paying that much attention, so forgive me. But I will be looking forward to see who the who enters the door of the Barclays Women's Championship house, like Big Brother, to see what's happening in the diary room. Who knows what's going to go on there? But for teams returning, particularly like Bristol, they will probably feel that they didn't do enough or they didn't have enough support. They have the fan base, definitely. And that part of the country definitely needs a football club in top tier football, whether it's in the men's game or the women's game. It's begging for top level football in either or both sets of the game in terms of gender. So there's that. I mean, God, I mean, I'm sad, really. There's no more championship football for a while. What am I gonna do? What am I gonna do? I'm gonna have to start talking to individuals at the clubs and see what's happening in terms of player acquisition. Because this is what we want to know now. As soon as the season's ended, okay, maybe 48 hours of kind of like, oh, I don't want to say anything, but now you're interested in right, what next? And clubs will already be planning who they need to go for. And I've already talked about the clubs that were close to relegation in terms of their goal difference in the minus column. Not good for you guys. You'll want to change that. Reading in particular, former WSL participant. That's a spiral. You know, that's like the fireman's lift, but going in the wrong direction. It's just down. They need to change that rapidly, rapidly. One thing I've noticed about the teams that have really poor goal difference is the constant, and I use this desire to play the ball back to the goalkeeper, inviting pressure. And then not being able to contend with the pressure and trying to play out from the back. It doesn't help you. Doesn't help you. Doesn't help you. Stepping away from the championship for a moment and looking at what's going on there. We know that Bristol City, I've told you there's no real threat to this. This is just a stream. We know that Bristol City are actually coming back. At Manchester City are definitely going forward and they're pushing Chelsea. Could it be the year that Emma Hayes leaves the shores to go to the US of A without anything to use her silver polish on? It's possible. It's possible because things haven't been going, not say haven't been going away. This Champions League exit, obviously, in the talk about robbed and. I suppose gamesmanship, being smart on in the game. Who knows? Refereeing standards—that's something in the Premier League. We'll leave that for later. So there's that. But Bunny Shaw and the crew. Bunny Shaw wasn't playing this weekend, but they scored four goals. Manchester City, so they're doing well. It looks like, apart from Manchester United as well, who won their game at the weekend. Aston Villa, West Ham, 1-1. Everton, Arsenal, 1-1. Tottenham, Brighton, 1-1. So in terms of the table, you know, Manchester City looking good, play two games more, but a good, healthy goal difference. Not by much, but a bit enough. Chelsea just behind and playing, need to play two games. And they, I think, is it 7 points? So we'll see. Is it 7 points? Yeah, it could be. No, it's not 7 points, 6 points. Yeah. Arsenal in third. Manchester United, I thought Arsenal would have been challengers this year, actually. Manchester United in fourth, which is where they are, considering the amount of money and I say that, you know, in all seriousness, the amount of money they spend on players and a club that wants to stockpile players and not use them, I don't understand. I saw something online in the week, one of the tweets about a particular player, and I'm thinking, why? I mean, what is it? It's like going around recruiting players and not playing them. I don't get it. What's the purpose of stockpiling players in a league that only has 12 teams? What for? Why? Makes no sense. If the league had 16 teams, you might think, you know, just in case someone gets injured, we can do it. But because the football is so geared to international football, and when I talk about that, there are so many players in the championship who are not playing football or not playing football, in my opinion, to a standard I think that's good enough, that are playing international football, that you think, well, if they're playing international football, anyone can play international football. You know, the standard needs to increase. And there are certain players I think, I don't know, I don't know how you have got a cap. I don't know. And that's me being hot, but it's my opinion. Sorry, not sorry. In fifth place in the WSL, Liverpool just behind Manchester United by 3 points. Then there's in sixth place, there's Tottenham. Villa in seventh place. Wow, this is not a good si I mean, considering where they were last season, they were flying high. Or maybe not flying high, but they're playing good football. Brighton, who had a bit of a scare and change of manager earlier on, they're in eighth place. Everton in ninth place. Leicester, 17 points, West Ham 14 points. Which one of these two are gonna join Bristol? Which one? I'm joking. Which one? Don't tell you. Who knows? I'm joking. But it's close. You know, Bristol relegated. You think, what's that? Bristol gone. Boom. They're gone. What will happen? When I say join them, I mean didn't necessarily join them, but when you're down there, you have to pray that the team that's being promoted is worse than you. And Leicester and West Ham maybe looking at it and thinking, wow, Crystal Palace are coming up. I think Crystal Palace might pose more of a problem than many people will think. They might don't write them off because they have demonstrated this season that they are serious, but also measured. And, you know, as I mentioned, it could be sentiment with Crystal Palace. They might say, we're going to keep the players, or they might be cutthroat and say, hey, thank you, but goodbye. We're bringing in someone else. So it could be that. We don't know. We don't know. It'll be interesting to see, though. It'll be interesting to see. But yeah, but in terms of the WSL, I would like to see Manchester City win the league. Just because it's something different. So I'm not a Manchester City fan, but I just think it would be something different. And I really want Khadija Shaw to get a winner's trophy and watch the mainstream media actually talk about her. Hashtag just saying. Yeah, I went there. So there's that. For the WSL, it's interesting. It's got a few more games to play. See how it pans out in terms of Manchester City, Chelsea. Who comes out on top? I would prefer, not that I'm a fan, Manchester City, and I've given my reasons why, but hey, I don't care. Moving away from the Championship and the WSL, the Premier League, always giving, whether it's VAR, whether it's refereeing decisions, whether it's penalties, whether it's individual players falling out with managers, whether it's players not playing for the club. I mean, it's just, wow. Yeah. Some of the refereeing decisions, like, oh, I feel for Nottingham Forest. Anyway, I won't say too much about that. Liverpool, Jurgen Klopp, I regard him as one of the best managers in the Premier League and has been for a very, very long time, considering some of the budget buys. And I say budget buys when you consider some of the money being spent by other clubs like Chelsea, Manchester United, Manchester City, etc. To see that he's not having a good time leaving, and he's seen some of his team miss so many chances in front of goal. Oh my days. And there was something written up about, you know, Salah and Klopp having a bit of a, I don't know, you know, disagreement about, you know, scoring goals possibly, or, you know, taking chances. Who knows? The question that I have, right, and I've been thinking about it, and I know what Liverpool fans, because Liverpool fans really love Mo Salah. And I'm going to think, there's a couple of questions. One, considering Mo Salah's greatness, do Liverpool feel, or Liverpool fans feel, that they should have had more trophies, particularly in Europe, considering how good this guy was regarded, or well regarded by fans in terms of him, his goal scoring abilities? That's one specifically for Liverpool fans. And the other thing that I have into mind, it's one of the, you know, they do that whole kind of would you bench, play, sell scenarios. I've been thinking about it. I said, for any football fan who understands, that's quite loaded. I shouldn't say that. So for any football fan who can remember, let's say this, a particular player in their prime, say, for example, if you had to choose and tomorrow's game was the Champions League final and you had to play a player or bench the other, and you had two, same position, would you play prime Salah, prime Mo Salah, or prime Iron Robin? Same position. Tomorrow's game, Champions League, you know you need to win this game. Who starts? Who's on the bench? I know, it's a horrible one, isn't it? It's a horrible one. Oh, I mean, I wouldn't want to answer it. Well, I probably will answer it, but not right now. But yeah. Anyway, a quick rambling roundup from me. This is on and off the pitch, talking about the Championship. Congrats to Crystal Palace. Salute, salute, salute. The WSL. I would like Manchester City women to win the WSL. What do you want? And in terms of the Premier League, who do you play in the game? Should it be a Champions League final? And it's real fantasy football stuff as well, this one. Is it prime Salah, or is it prime Iron Robin? Anyway, that's it from me. This is On and Off the Pitch, and until the next one, laters.